We're joined on the telephone now by Professor Barry Kodrowitz. He's the Assistant Professor of Product Design at the University of Minnesota. And he has gotten a master's degree at MIT studying projectile toy design. He studied industrial design and surprise in products. He designs, creates, and studies toys. He's really interested in toys and technology that empower people to be more creative. Good evening, Barry.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for being here. Well, I have to say, you know, we have talked with a lot of people on this program, and this is possibly one of the most interesting bios I have ever seen. It really looks fun. Tell us a little bit about your area of study and work and how you got into it.
When I was growing up, I wanted to design theme park rides for Disney, and so I went to the University of Central Florida to study mechanical engineering. And when I graduated, I ended up not really doing any design. So I went to MIT, and I worked with Professor Wallace doing Nerf and Super Soaker toy design with Hasbro. I started teaching a class about that same time called Toy Product Design at MIT. And while I was there, I worked on a number of other projects like this ketchup crapper, like a remote control ketchup bottle.
would you explain that, please? Because I saw a picture of it and it's just wonderful.
Yeah, thanks. It's a anthropomorphic remote control ketchup bottle that drives around on the table and dispenses ketchup. It was on the Martha Stewart show, and it was on Conan a few times. It's been on a number of blogs on the internet. And then I did some special effects for theme park for this International Spy Museum and this company called Five Wits. The entire time I was studying humor and creativity and idea generation.
That's great. It sounds like so much fun. I mean, this sounds like a fantasy job.
Yeah, it's been great. I've been always, I'm always doing what I like, which is, I'm lucky I'm able to. In academia, that's one benefit. You can decide what you think is important, and as long as you can find people to get money from, and you could pretty much research whatever you want. And I've been interested in play and humor and creativity. I think those things are all related and they're all important, not just for kids, but for adults and industry.
Talk a little bit about why toys and play are important.
There's a number of studies and even books that have found relationships between playfulness and creativity. When you're playing, you're less inhibited. You're more likely to make novel associations. You're in kind of a fantasy state, so you're going to be coming up with wild ideas, which is helpful for innovation. When you're playing, you're basically pretending. You're making up stuff, and that is creativity, mm-hmm. essentially. There's all relationships between play and creativity. It's just, how do you get people to still be playful in, let's say, a work environment where it's not necessarily viewed as appropriate or encouraged to play around and to have toys on your desk and stuff like that.
Exactly, but that's always really fun when that happens.
Yeah, I have that, and I'm not saying like all work environments are void of play, but it'd be nice to embrace it a little bit more as adults, and I think we're getting there. Like there's a lot more apps now. Now with iPhone and iPad and all the smart devices, adults are playing games all the time now on their smart devices. And it wasn't that way before. I mean, it wasn't like we brought around card games with us, you know, on the bus. So I think that there's one place where it's coming back. And you see a lot more like adult Halloween costumes now too. So I think there's a little bit more fantasy play going on. Even if you look at products like that are being sold, like from Quirky, which is a company that makes a lot of interesting, or Kickerland, and even if you just go on fab.com or some of these websites that sell novelty products or modern products, or even like if you go to any of the gift stores at like the Walker or the Weissman, mm-hmm. You know, you see a lot more playful products. That's kind of where I was going. A huge setup for that.
You mentioned the ketchup crapper. Tell us about a couple of the other things that you've designed, and tell us about a couple of your favorites. I was especially interested. I'm a big word game fan, and I was especially interested in Word Bounce. I don't have an iPhone, unfortunately, but tell us about Word Bounce.
Oh, sure. Okay. So Word Bounce is like a combination of Boggle and Tetris, maybe.
Okay.
So it's an app for the iPhone. And I think iPad now too. And, you know, there's these basically balls come in onto the screen, and in order, you know, you don't want the screen to fill up with balls. So in order to get rid of them, you have to use them in words. And every time you spell a word with the balls, they disappear. And the levels get more challenging. Some balls are like bombs and they'll blow up. Some balls are saws and they'll split letters into two. There's radioactive ones that keep growing. Anyway,
cool.
it was kind of like, yeah, I think it's fun, but it was really more of like an intro to how to make an app for me,
uh-huh.
and how to market an app. And so it was more like an experiment. Now I'm developing, an app that teaches people how to draw, in the form of it's pretty cool.
I need
a lot
that.
Of
Can you
there.
Send, I'll be a beta test site for you.
I will forward it to you when we have a beta. that's something in the works right now. You know, I made this Nerf gun called the Atom Blaster, which was on the market a while ago. And I think it was on the market for about 4 or 5 years. It basically shoots foam balls.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get that anymore. We've done some museum-related things. There was an exhibit at the Works Museum in Bloomington.
Hmm.
Some of our students, we designed a large musical table where you can write, you know, kids can use these little musical note pucks, and they could make songs by placing them around a circle.
Cool.
So you could go, that's kind of something that everyone can go check out. This elevator simulator, which is at the Spy Museum, I co-developed that. And that's kind of like a walk-through interactive adventure.
Barry, how long has that been at the Spy Museum? Because I've been there several times. I don't remember it.
So it's in a show called Operation Spy.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of an extra thing that you have to pay for. In the back, and it's a walkthrough adventure.
Oh, neat.
So it's not part of the general ticket. And I get that a lot. People are like, I didn't see your thing.
You got to pay extra for it. Dang. I did crawl through the heating duct, but I didn't do the elevator simulator.
Right.
Tell us what the Archimedes death ray is.
Right. So that was actually my thesis advisor's big project. He tries to have an estimation challenge for his senior design class at MIT every year.
Mm-hmm.
And one year, the Mythbusters went on challenging people to make a death ray, which the Archimedes death ray, which is using mirrors to reflect the sun and set a boat on fire.
Wow.
And so he said, I think that's possible. And so, you know, he did a little back of the envelope calculation, and he said, "Yeah, we can make this." So he had a few of the lab members and some students build a prototype, which is essentially a bunch of mirrors pointing at a wooden boat structure, and we set it on fire. and we sent it in to the Mythbusters, and they said, "Come on the show." So they flew us all out there to do it again on Discovery.
That's great.
Yeah, it was good. The boat that they used was underwater for a few months, so it was over 100% water saturated. So probably not a very realistic test, mm-hmm. but it did partially set on fire at one point.
That sounds very fun. If you just join us, we're speaking with Professor Barry Kudrowitz. He's a professor of product design at the University of Minnesota, and he specializes in toys and play. Barry, what trends are you seeing in the toy industry? You know, we wanted to talk to you partly because this is the big holiday shopping season and people are looking for toys and, you know, trying to pick out the right thing for their kids or whatever. What are you seeing that's different than it used to be?
You know, there's a lot of things that are the same. You know, they're always looking at, like, collector, you know, buy the whole set kind of stuff. Animal-type things, like cuddly, cute things are always trendy. You know, Furby's coming back. There's, you know, now, you know, slowly technology is getting, you know, a lot of things that were, like, high-tech are now affordable to put into toys.
Like?
You know, there's, like, little... just look at like the hex bugs, which are the little or nano, the hex bugs, let's say. So they're like these little tiny, not RC, but they're little robots, essentially. Mm. They're little bugs that they drive around. And, you know, they have little motors in them and, sensors, proximity sensors, and, you know, some of them are even RC, so you can control them. And they're small, you know, they're the size of, like, your thumb. And something like that, you know, that wasn't possible to make something affordable. You know, I think they're $15, $20 or something like that. You wouldn't have been able to do that,
right,
5 years ago. But now we can get these little motors and get the sensors and we can get the all the circuitry for pennies or, you know, and so we can start seeing more high-tech products, little mm-hmm. gadgets and robots.
Barry, my co-host Bob wants to ask you a question.
Barry, do you find that given the fact, particularly with young people, and it seems to me getting younger and younger are connected, are wired, that they're more interested in computer games and doing things on their smartphones than they are in quote unquote toys, or do you think that there's young people are still, they still care about toys?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're always going to want the tangible thing, but I do see that that has taken away some of the market of just the pure hardware stuff, mm-hmm. And a lot of the digital toys are they're kind of doing these hybrid part digital, part physical. There's this Spyro's my brain. It was this video game, Spyro's Adventure. Spyro. There's probably like listeners right now that are like, "Just say it."
Hey, this happens to us all the time. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, like these little action figures and they interface with your video game. So you put them on a stand and they get transported into the video game and you fight with them. And then even like board games, there's ones now that interface with your iPad. So you click the iPad into the board or you put an object onto the iPad. And so now you're using the digital technology and people are marketing kind of like a little physical component that goes with it. There's little things that slip over your iPhone to turn your iPhone into a creature.
Cool.
You know, stuff like that. And, you know, so, there's, there's always a little bit of a physical element to these toys. And I think that, that's probably a trend that's going on right now. You know, people have these digital phones, they have, they have the iPads, and, how can we, being a toy company that makes physical things, now, sell something that goes with this technology that everyone has. And so you see a lot of these hybrid, there's like helicopters that you steer with your iPhone, or there's like a ball that you can, you know, control with your phone.
No, that's great. That sounds very interesting. There. Well, in the couple minutes that we have left, tell us what you're working on right now, if you can.
Well, mostly developing the product product design program at the U. So right now there's no industrial design or product design programs in the state of Minnesota.
Really?
And the closest I think it would be Stout or maybe in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're starting from scratch, and we're developing what we're calling product design, which is a little bit like industrial design.
And which college is that in?
It's in the College of Design.
Oh, okay.
But it's going to be an interdisciplinary program joining College of Design, College of Engineering, and hopefully Carlson School of Management. And right now it's only a graduate minor, but we're expanding to an undergraduate minor and then a graduate major.
Wow. That is terrific. So would people necessarily have to be an engineer or not?
No. It could come from anywhere. That's where we're going to try to, the graduate, both the minor and the future major, we're targeting people who do not come from this background, mm-hmm. and we're going to try to give them some skills to turn whatever they're doing now into more of a product design focus.
That sounds really fun. Well, Barry, where can people go on the web to learn more about what you do?
Wonderberry.com.
That's a great web address. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I'm really glad. We were so disappointed we couldn't connect last week because we were really excited to talk with you. So thanks so much for your time.
No problem.
To hear what you're doing, and hope to hear from you again sometime.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on the show.